tie. What's that? I have no idea. Whew. All right. Levi, run to the man cave, get me a bottle of water, and bring it down to me, will you? You don't think my voice, I'm already dry. I might need some water before I get done. If I don't have enough water, then I can't preach and spit enough, right? So, all right. Now, we are in a series right now, a topical series, called The Watchman on the Wall. And God kind of revealed this to me a few weeks ago before the quarantine stopped. And I'm going to hit some topics. Before we get back to working our way through the Bible and each book of the Bible, then we're going to do this series. And I'm not sure how long it's going to go. I got a few more topics ahead of me. I don't know if God will reveal more. But last week we started with this Watchman on the Wall with a sermon called I Want Faith Like That. And thank you, Levi. Thank you. All right. And in that sermon, we started out with the three groups of people that the Bible tells me are going to be in the church. And they're the not saved, but believe they are saved. And like I said, I have, during our, especially when we were staying at home, I hit this subject pretty hard. And so I'm not going to focus on this group. I'm always looking to lead people to salvation. But I'm not going to be focusing and trying to get people to realize that they may not be saved. A lot of people don't even want to consider it. That was what part of the testimony challenge was all about. God revealed that He wanted us to do that. One, it was just, let's have an opportunity to testify of Christ, what He's done for us. Every born-again believer should jump all over that. Because how many times do we actually get to testify of Jesus Christ to people? They're not opportunities every day in this world we live in. Some of you never get an opportunity. But here one was laid out for you. Some of you jumped on it, some of you have not. Testimony Challenge was to jump on to show, hey, this is what Jesus died for me, that I want to testify of Him. Some are choosing not to do it. I don't understand. I'm not going to let this go. We're not going to let this go. But I know some are not because they really don't have a born-again moment. They're religious. They're good Christian folk. But they never had a born-again moment that changed their life. That's what your testimony is about. It's not about all the details of your whole life. It's not your life story. It's the story of that moment. That moment when the truth came in and the sinner realized they were a sinner and they were wretched and they needed a Savior. And they turned to Christ and Christ came in and everything changed. Testimony Challenge is still out before the church. I'll be speaking more about that in the weeks to come because that's phase one. There's three more phases of the testimony challenge. We haven't even gotten to phase two yet. Phase one. I'm waiting for the church to be 100% on board. The second group of people is the saved, but babes in the faith. Spoke about this last week. Today, I'm not even really going to focus on babes in the faith, trying to encourage people to take their faith serious and grow in Christ. Where I'm going to focus is number three, the saved. The growing and the engaged. I want to encourage you today. In this world that we're living, we need all the encouragement we can get. Last week we talked about sin is lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. And what we see taking over the world, the lawlessness, is sin. We talked about the agendas. These groups out there protesting, and they have their surface agenda, but they really have other agendas behind that they're really about. But then we talked about the real agenda behind it all. The agenda of Satan. Satan wants to bring lawlessness and disorder. Why? So he can bring the man of lawlessness onto the world stage. The Antichrist. This is what we focus on. We make our stand as believers, understanding this is the real agenda. Satan wants people deceived and divided and focused on all these issues that are causes of sin. Injustice, racism, that's because of sin. And there's only one cure, and that's the gospel. And that is the cause, that is the agenda we focus on as believers. Today, I want to continue in this Watchmen on the Wall series with one called Running with the Horses. It's going to be a different kind of sermon. It's going to be a sermon with some movie clips in it. Because I like movies. You guys like movies? I like movies. But I don't like all the movies, because there's a lot of bad movies. But I like movies that are based on a real story. Especially a real, and not one with a bunch of emotion, you know. Or a deep plot you got to figure out, because I can never figure them out. But I like those real life stories of someone against, you know, the underdog and coming against great odds and overcoming them. And I love movies that just, you know, inspire you. So this sermon is going to be dealing with some movies today. So I hope you like movie clips, because I like movie clips. But my title, Running with Horses, should sound familiar. It should remind you of a verse we saw last week in the sermon, Jeremiah 12:5. If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And Wendy got up and she expounded on this verse and shared her heart. And I hope what she said really sunk in. It really resonated with me. And as I was thinking about it and pondering on it, God was like, here, I want you to talk about horses. So horses. Horse sermon. So I prayed about it and I was like, wow, yes, I understand. I see God where He wanted me to go with this. So let's try this. Where I want to begin this sermon is with the Australian 3rd Light Horse Brigade. May have never heard of these guys before. World War I. This charge that they're about to make is the last great cavalry charge of World War I. World War I is an interesting time because modern weapons, machine guns, long-distance artillery, planes, warfare had become modern. But many of the tactics used with the soldiers were still old-school tactics. So at one point you had tanks and planes and machine guns, but you still had people on horses charging into battle. This charge here by the Australians against the Turkish forces, the charge was across an area where it was Beersheba? They had to charge 3 miles in open desert terrain. Charge 3 miles under fire. Now in this movie clip, I don't want you focusing on the soldiers, even though they're brave and heroic. What I want you to focus on, I want you to examine, are the horses in the movie clip. Look at that picture. What did you guys, what does that clip show you, teach you? What did you realize about horses in that clip? What? They want to run. That's good. What else? Huh? Fearless for an animal. To charge with shells bursting, bullets ripping by. Even when the rider falls off, they still charge forward. What? They don't shy away. They don't back away. Oh. What? Made for battle. Interesting that you said that, Wendy. The book of Job. The book of Job is a fascinating book. It's about a man whose life has just hit rock bottom pretty much. And he gets to a point where he's wondering, he's questioning God, why? He's not forsaking God, he's not cursing God, but he's asking God, why has all these terrible things happened to me? And God comes down and he talks to Job, but he never answers the question. God questions Job at that point. And it's to get Job to focus on who God is and not Job and his problems. And he asked Job many questions, but here's, I want to share a few that today that God questioned Job with that are just completely fascinating questions. Job chapter 39. God asked Job, "Have you given the horse strength? Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you frighten him like a locust? His majestic snorting strikes terror. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He gallops into the clash of arms of battle. He mocks at fear and is not frightened, nor does he turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him, the glittering spears and javelin. He devours the distance with fierceness and rage, nor does he come to halt because the trumpet has sounded. At the blast of the trumpet, he says, 'Aha!' He smells the battle from afar, the thundering of captains and shoutings." You see, God designed the horse to carry men into battle. It's a unique animal. There's nothing like the horse. And the way it reacts under loud explosions and gunfire and battle. The horse is unique. Designed perfectly for a man to sit on him and ride him into battle. What do you think would have happened to those men if they had charged across that 3 miles without horses? But the horses carried them through. Yes, you get. Yes, when you talk to horsemen, you talk to cavalry guys, their horse is as close as a brother. It's the only animal that's designed to carry man into battle, and God did this. And it carries the man into battle with speed and with fierceness, even in the midst of battle. Even when other men and horses are dying, and that's what I don't want to focus on the war aspect of that clip. What I want to focus on is the beauty of the horses in the midst of the battle. The majesty that they have in themselves as God designed them to do. The horse stands out. It is marvelous. It is a wonderful thing. An amazing sight to see a creation of God doing what it was created to do. It's beautiful to see what God created for that creation to do what it was designed to do. You know, it's the same with us as believers. We are new creations in Christ. We are created and designed to serve and bring glory to our Creator. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "Therefore, if anyone was in Christ, he, she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all have become new." Your past life no longer matters. Can it be used to glorify Christ? Yes. But it no longer hinders you. It has no hold on you. You're a new creation. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You see, when we were sinners, we were separated from God. We were far off from God. But God, through Jesus Christ, God reconciled us back to Him. And then He's given us the mission. He has designed us and created us for the ministry of reconciliation. Meaning we now are designed to go out into the world and reconcile those who are lost to God. To share them the gospel. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You see, we've been created to testify. To speak the word of reconciliation, to speak the gospel. We are designed to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us. Meaning we're pleading with the world. God is pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, be saved, be born again. But how can they unless they hear the gospel? For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. You see, we've been called to a race, to run a race. This race is unique. It's what I was talking about up there with Blake. The path that we're on now, it's going to be the hardest path you've ever done because it's a race. It's a long, enduring race. Let's go back to Job 39. Verse 22. The horse, he mocks at fear and is not frightened, nor does he turn back from the sword. Verse 24. He devours the distance with fierceness and rage, nor does he come to a halt because the trumpet has sounded. The horse is never going to quit. Once the horse starts running, you know, horses will run until their heart literally explodes and they can run themselves to death. There was a movie called Secretariat about the greatest racehorse ever. And it was said during that time period that it was impossible for any horse to win the three biggest races in the horse season racing year. It's called the Triple Crown. The three biggest races. With the third race, the Kentucky Derby, I believe, and it's the longest race. Well, there was this horse called Secretariat. He was fast. Because he was so fast, they said, well, fast horses only can run short races. They can't run a long race. They can't keep up the speed. They tire out. And if a horse tried to run the Kentucky Derby over a mile long course, full speed, it would kill the horse. But see, God designed the horses to cover the distance with fierceness and rage, not to quit. Why don't you watch this clip?
Horses now loaded in. Secretariat searching from the gate. Secretariat away very well and shifted it on the rail. Secretariat driving immediately into the lead. Secretariat and Jam off to a surprisingly rapid pace.
He's going out too fast.
Secretariat, Jam on the outside is also moving along strongly, and now it's Jam. Jam and Secretariat are right together.
This is no good.
Turn. My Gallant has third behind them. Then it's quite a bridge to the trailer.
Why? He's going for me.
They go by.
I don't know.
Go! Go!
Jam pushing Secretariat into an even faster pace as they round the first turn. Throwing away down the back stretch. Jam pressing Secretariat even faster. Secretariat refusing to yield, driving forward.
This is unbelievable. No horse can take this pace.
Jam pushing forward.
He laughs at fear, afraid of nothing. He does not shy away from the sword. He cannot stand still when the trumpet sounds.
Greatest horse victory ever. Nothing's ever come close again. This horse was amazing. But to watch it, it was designed by God to do what it was doing. And it was doing it with its full heart, its full devotion. And it was a beautiful sight to see. How amazing it is to see that horse that God designed do what it was designed to do. We also have been called to run a race. We also have been designed to run the race. Acts 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. Apostle Paul here. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. To run my race. To do what I was designed to do in Christ. The ministry. To testify. And this is not just talking about ministries, ministers and people in full-time, quote-unquote, ministry. We've all been called to be His witnesses. We're all called to be the church. To be the church. And the church is called to testify to the world. It's the race that we're going to run. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run a race all run, but one receives the prize? You run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. I don't run with doubting God and what He's called me to do. Thus, I fight, not as one who beats the air. No, I fight with purpose. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. We're not controlled by the flesh anymore. We're not controlled by the old person. Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul was not going to be a hypocrite. Paul was not going to be a person who just attended church. No, he was going to run the race. And he was going to live his life in such a way it was always testifying of the gospel. And he was going to put it out there for people to hear. He was going to live in complete obedience to the Word of God. And so he did. And at the end of his life, when he was about to lay his life down for the gospel of Jesus Christ, he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The writer of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, many things in this world are going to try to get us off track. Too many believers are letting worldly things and desires get them off track. Too many false teachings, teachers out there, that it's just about being a good person, about attending church. No, we have a race. And the race is not inside this building, it's out there. It's every moment we breathe. And we're to give our all in that race. We're to run it with fierceness and rage as the horse runs his race. And our rage is not what the human understanding. It's the dedication. It's the focus. It's the complete devotion to the race which Christ called us to. And has designed us to be in. And it's more than just attending church. Let's go back to Job. Verse 21. He paused in the valley. He rejoices in his strength. He gallops into the clash of arms. He mocks at fear and is not frightened. Nor does he come to a halt because the trumpet has sounded. He doesn't quit. Even when faced with something overwhelming, even faced with something that the odds are all against, can't do it. The horse will not quit. Even facing an obstacle that seems impossible to overcome. The first two clips were true stories. This one is just a good story. It's called The Man from Snowy River. The main character, Jim, it's about him, but the horse is in it. If it wasn't for the horses, Jim wouldn't have a story. You see, there's this mob of wild mountain horses. And the ranchers don't like them. And the ranchers wanted to destroy them, but Jim wants to capture them and save them. They're called Mountain Brombies. And Jim rides a Mountain Bromby. And the other horsemen mock his horse. It's not a real horse. But the Mountain Bromby was designed for the mountains. It could handle terrain that regular old horses couldn't do. And his horse did not let fear conquer its heart. And that horse took Jim where no other man could follow. Again, watch this clip of Watch the Horse. Thank you.
Bid the mob good day. Look!
Just the beauty of it, the majesty of the horse. The muscles when it's running, and just the beauty carrying the man. Truly amazing creature. To run off the steep incline almost looked impossible. You know, sometimes what God calls us to do can feel overwhelming, can feel impossible. How can we, such a small little church, do what we're called to do? It can seem overwhelming. How can we stand up against all that's going out? And can we stop what's happening on the outside? No. Things are going to take place. Pieces are falling into place. The end times will come. We're not going to stop that. But what we can do is go out there and we can find those who will still listen and want to hear the gospel, because they're out there. It can seem overwhelming, almost impossible. Because you look at yourself and you go, well, I'm not good at speaking in public. I'm not good at this, or I can't do that. You're looking at yourself. Don't look at yourself. Look to your designer, your creator. He has designed you to do what you might think is impossible. And how beautiful the horse is when it's doing what God designed it to do. And so, the same can be said of us. If we will do what God has designed us to do. And when we hit those things that we just don't think we can do, we must remember Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not just written in there to make it sound good or for us to feel good. It's true. You can do all things that God calls you to do. And when things seem possible, Mark 10, Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible. If you look to yourself, it will be impossible for you to run this race that God has set you on. But if you look to Him, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Job 39. Have you given the horse strength? Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you frighten him like a locust? His majestic snorting strikes terror. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He gallops into the clash of arms. He mocks at fear and is not frightened. Nor does he turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him, the glittering spear and javelin. He devours the distance with fierceness and rage. Nor does he come to a halt because the trumpet has sounded. At the blast of the trumpet, he says, aha! He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of captains and shouting. The horse was designed by God to carry men into impossible situations. And the horse does what he's designed to do. It's truly an amazing, awe-inspiring thing to behold. It should be the same with us. As born-again believers called to put on the full armor of God, we have been created to bring glory to God. To not shy away from the spiritual battle that is raging all around us. To not let fear grip us, but to put on the full armor of God. Is that imagery there just... why did God put the imagery of armor, of a soldier? Because it's a real spiritual war. It's got real fighting, spiritually speaking. It's, you need that armor. And that armor is Jesus Christ in every aspect of it. But let me ask you, spiritually speaking, do you look like that? If we could see your spiritual condition with God right now, would you look like those two? And I have a woman up there too, not just men. Are you ready, church? The war, the enemy is raging. Darkness is spreading across the world. We've been called to put on the armor. Spiritually speaking, if we could see you in your spiritual condition, do you look like that? Are you ready for it? Are you actually running the race that God has designed you to be? Or have you taken the alternate path about just attending church and being a good person? Are you testifying to the world what Jesus Christ has done for you? We're to put on the full armor of God. To make our stand in Christ, in the wicked day. To be good soldiers, willing to charge out into the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To run our race with endurance in the Lord, and to run our race in such a way as to win the prize for our Lord and Savior. And when we come to face what seems impossible to do, because God's will is always outside of our comfort zone, when we face what we think we cannot do, we will always remember what is impossible for us is not impossible for God. The horse was designed by God to run, to carry men into battle, to have no fear. Folks, we have been created by God. If you are a true, born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you have been created to run, to have no fear, and to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who need it, to share what Christ has done for us, to share our testimony of our salvation by our Lord and Savior. That is our race. That is our cause. The horse has its cause and purpose, and we have our purpose and cause. Is your life dedicated to this single cause? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your incredible design of all things. The universe shows your handiwork. You're not just a designer, you're an artist. But Lord, everything you have designed has purpose and meaning. You created humanity to bring glory to you, but humanity has rejected that. But by your grace, Lord, you have brought us back to the real meaning and purpose of who we are, of what we're meant to be. You have equipped us, you have designed us, you have created us now to be your ambassadors, to be your good soldiers, to be your witnesses, to take the gospel, your gospel, to take your love, your goodness, your kindness, your grace out into the world. As the enemy uses wickedness and pain and suffering to destroy people, Lord, we bring the opposite. We bring you. We bring the goodness that saves, the goodness that restores. Lord, I ask you to help us be dedicated to that cause. And as the horse has fulfilled its design and purpose, let us fulfill our design and our purpose. We pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing one last song. Keep my mic on. I'll mute it myself because there's a verse I need to read it. So, why don't we go and stand up for this last song? Go ahead.